Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. This week, we're excited to speak with Ian and Claire Fisher of Travel the World Family. They'll be telling us about fast travel, how to work with hotels, as well as some unique experiences that they've had, particularly in the Kokang province of Cambodia. But before then, we wanted to give you another update on what our family's adventures have been like since last week. And for that, we're bringing on our son, Santi, to give us a little bit more information about what we were up to in Manila. What's another place that we went to, Santi?
DreamWorks!
DreamWorks Dreamplay the theme park. What did you see there?
I saw DreamWorks characters.
Yeah, like which ones?
Shrek and Puss the Cat.
Puss in Boots, huh?
Yeah.
What else did you do?
I cooked Gingy.
What's Gingy?
It's like this character from Shrek, and then he's like a gingerbread, but no one ate him.
No one ate him?
Yeah.
Did you eat him?
Yeah.
Was he delicious?
Yeah.
And what's another thing that you did there?
I think I went in Shrek's house.
Oh, yeah? And how was that?
It was a little bit scary, but it was really little. Beware of ogres.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the door said, right?
Oh, that's
And right. I did Shrek's workout.
What was Shrek's workout?
Like, you had to hang on to a bar as long as you could. And you had to balance on something as long as you could.
And how long were you able to do it for?
I was able to hold it for like a couple seconds.
Yeah, it was pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. So what would you say to someone that's going to DreamWorks?
It should be really fun, but just don't try to stay there too long until it closes.
Why not?
Because then you'll be trapped there for a whole day and it will be dark.
That's right. Well, thank you, Santi, for joining on this episode. Do you want to go back to Manila one day?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why?
Because I can play at DreamWorks.
Okay. And with that said, let's move on to our conversation with Claire and Ian Fisher of Travel the World Family. Hey everyone, I am happy to be here today with Claire and Ian Fisher. They, along with their children, Kaylin and Maddie, are the Travel the World family. They have also sold everything and are traveling all throughout the world, staying in some really awesome places, and we are excited to introduce them to the show. Welcome, Claire and Ian.
Hey Rod, how you doing? Thanks for having us.
We are doing well. We are here in Bali right now. Where are you guys?
We are in Thailand, island of Koh Samui. This is our second stint in Thailand in the last 3 months.
It is, yeah. And we're actually headed to Bali next. So
yeah, Bali's our next destination.
Oh, you guys are going to love it. We've been having a good time. But I wanted to open the floor to you to kind of introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, your family, kind of the story that led to the creation of the Travel the World family.
So we are, I suppose, your average typical family. A family of four. Me and Claire have been married. It's actually 7 years at the beginning of this month. We got married very, very quickly, within about 6 months of knowing each other. And Kaylin come along 6 months after that. So everything happened super quick. And I suppose that led on from our want to explore as a family, as we didn't get a chance to as a couple. Yeah. And looking back on it, we probably wouldn't have had it any other way.
Yeah, we were sort of getting to that point where we were looking to settle down and buy a house. And we just have never really been that family, have we? Not yet, anyway. We still feel quite young and that we've got loads to do. And then we had a family friend that we were due to travel with pass away quite suddenly. And he left behind a young wife and two small children, which really had a big impact on us.
Around the same time, my grandmother passed away, who was a massive influence in my life, and my upbringing.
Plus, I think the journey itself is something we really crave. Like, we do like seeing new places. And over the first couple of years of having the family, money was really tight. So we didn't really travel as much as we wanted to. We've both worked really hard, but especially Ian away from home quite a lot. So we were craving that family time. And one day we just looked at each other and said, let's just do it.
Let's just go. It was actually driving back from the funeral of that close friend that we both looked at each other and thought, life's way too short. What is it that, what do we want our legacy to be? My grandfather used to say something special in terms of what defines us is the road of our life, not actually our end spot. We're all going to end up in the same place, but it's how we get there that makes us different. And that sort of, I said that out loud in the car, and we both went, well, yeah, let's go do something and let's make something that's memorable, not only for us, but for our kids.
Wow, you guys have a pretty amazing story, and there's so many questions that I have about it. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry for all of your losses. I know those can be pretty devastating for a family, and it can definitely be a big spurry moment to start the kind of travel lifestyle. How long of a time passed between when you guys had that epiphany in the car, realizing that that's what you wanted to do, and actually taking off on your adventure?
It was 10 months pretty much to the day. I think we would have gone a lot sooner, but as Claire alluded to, we weren't one for saving. We never liked to. At the beginning, we never had the money to save anyway. We would just get by.
When we did, we were so excited we had the money that we just
spent it. Yeah. Also, I've got a bit of OCD, and there was no way that we were just going to jump on a plane and go somewhere blind. So the 10 months allowed me to get my little spreadsheet out and work out where you want to go and how long we were going to go for and what locations we're going to see and really research those countries to make sure when we got there, we got the most out of them and the most out of the experiences. So to be honest, we could have probably done with an extra 2 months, 2 or 3 months, but
from a business side of things, because it all started to take off, we could have done with another year of planning, to be honest. But, you know, either way, we got a lot more than what some people do before they set off. And it really did make a big difference, I think, in how smoothly everything went, how relaxed we felt, even though we were going traveling around the world. So a good 10 months was really good.
Yeah.
So let's get to the travel. You guys are pretty unique in that, you know, there's a lot of discussions on what's the best type or the best way to travel. Is it fast travel in which you're going from one city to another in 2 to 3 weeks? Or is it slow travel in which you spend a month, maybe 2 months in one city or country, and then you move on from there to kind of get a deeper feeling of a specific place? You guys are doing the fast travel route, and you seem to be moving even quicker than, you know, the 2 or 3 weeks. So I wanted to ask you, what kind of led you to decide to travel that quickly, and what are some of the benefits that you've seen from that type of travel?
There's two main reasons for us for the fast traveling. The first being that we don't really have the luxury of having enough money to sort of stay or collaborations to stay in one place for too long, because it does ultimately cost money to exist in that place.
I would say for when this wasn't a business and it was just us going traveling, we had to make sure that it was as cost effective as possible, and we didn't spend money where we couldn't afford to. And one of those pointers were the visas. So what country can we go to that allowed us to stay in that location for a certain amount of time that was for free? For instance, Vietnam only allowed us 15 days. So we had to maximize those 15 days in the best way possible to allow us to see not all of the country, but parts of the country that will give us the best feeling. And like you just said, enough of that to understand the culture, the history, the people.
So there's still a lot of that we do still want to see, but we only have 10 months initially, and we want to try and get around as much of Asia as possible. The other reason for the fast travel was us getting quite itchy feet and getting quite bored quite quickly. Like we do, if we're in a place for longer, we do like to have a minimum amount of time in one place, but any longer than sort of 5 days, and we're both sort of, you know, there's only so many pool days you can have.
And then the same for the kids, I think. So someone might question how fast we're moving and is it right for them? They're exactly like us in a way of that. If we get to somewhere and it's 3 or 4 days in, they're asking us, when are we leaving? I mean, when's our next country? What do you mean, how long is it until we're back on the plane?
So I wanted to ask you, budgeting is very important, especially for a full-time travel family, right? You're only going to continue traveling as long as you have a budget and you have kind of money in the bank to sustain that. Can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you guys do to kind of reach out to these hotels, what it is that you offer? A lot of our listeners probably don't know what collaborating with hotels kind of means in the social media space. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
So what we typically do is we had to find out what it was that we could offer. And straight away, we knew that our angle would be photography and film, even though we weren't particularly that good at it at the beginning. We spent quite a bit of time developing ourselves in that 10 months to try and get to the stage where brands and resorts would even look at us to work with us in some way.
By the way, you guys are being a little bit too modest. You guys, if you check out their Instagram, their pictures and their videos look phenomenal. So
if you look back, like, you can see, even we can see a big difference, and that's the kind of content creating side. So some brands and resorts will potentially, they're more interested in the content you create rather than the influence you might have on social media, which is then a separate thing. So some brands will then look at you and say, like, you've got X amount of followers, which typically that's all they do look at, isn't it?
For the most part, yeah. I think at the beginning for us, it was working out what was going to be our niche. And my advice, if anybody is listening that wants to start that or is doing it and is just after some more advice, it would be to find what is your unique selling point. What we found at the time is when we looked at how many influencers or how many people on social media actually just content create in terms of the cinematic. Many people do it, but not many families.
If you really want to work with that brand or that resort, you've got to try and get to the point where you've got that email in their inbox. And then, you know, if they don't respond straight away, you know, you can follow up. I've always said there's no point in going to all the hard work to send an email if you're not going to follow up with them. And interacting on their accounts as well, like on social media, you'll be surprised how much contact we've made, isn't it?
We're now in a very privileged position where we still get no's, but I mean, every so often we open our mailbox and there's hotels that actually invite us in. Whereas, I mean, 4 months ago, 6 months ago, there was a lot of no's, flat out no's. So I mean, my biggest advice for anyone, you've just got to remain buoyant and keep your head up and keep going for it. If it's something that you want to do and need to make it work, like any business, you just got to go at it.
Yeah, I think there's so many amazing lessons that you guys have just told us about. I'm taking notes because I'm definitely going to be putting these strategies into work. But one of the big takeaways is don't give up if there's something or a place where you want to stay at and you know that you have valuable content. So I want to switch gears a little bit more and highlight some of these unique type of travel experiences that you've had through all of your fast travels. And, you know, kind of going through your feed and your stories, I saw that you guys went to Cambodia, to the Koh Kong province. And I think you guys did some kind of rafting and kind of jungle type adventures in there with absolutely no service, kind of very far away from civilization. Can you tell me more about that experience, especially with the kids, right? Kaylin and Maddie are pretty young still. So how did they take it?
First of all, we knew nothing about Koh Kong province. Nope. Until the day we got invited to go there. And even then we were like, it's a bit of glamping on a river. We were quite naive, and we didn't spoil what was going to come by reading into it too much, because potentially what we read, we may have been put off by that.
And we realized how far away it was from where we were.
Yeah, so our original plan for Cambodia was to just stay in Phnom Penh and see and reap. Koh Kong, even though it's only 4 hours from Phnom Penh, it's in the opposite direction to Siem Reap, and the roads in Cambodia are not great. So if you've been, you'd know this. But it took us, or we worked out, it would take us 10 or 11 hours in the car to get from Koh Kong to our next destination of Siem Reap. So then we weighed up, would it be worth it? And it was an experience that we've never done before. We've done beach resorts, we've done everything.
We were craving something different, weren't we?
Yeah. And this allowed us to be free a little, I suppose. And it was jungle life to the fullest. I felt we were a bit like the Jungle Book, weren't we?
Yeah.
I did feel a bit like Mowgli at times.
What did the kids think about it?
Oh, they were amazed. So again, also when we arrived, so we were 5 hours in a car to get there, and then the reception is on the mainland, and then so you
check the reception, the wooden bamboo hut.
Okay, not much.
That's about like 1 meter.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But so they basically take your name. They're like, yeah, this is a reception, but you then need to jump on a boat, and the resort is like a 45-30 minute boat ride away. You're going down the Mekong River. The river is about 30 foot wide. It's a big old river. There's nobody else on it. You can hear every bit of nature that there is.
You know full well that there's been crocodiles in there, even though they're not in there anymore, apparently. Like, I have read that they're at the top of the river, so they're apparently way, way far away. But, you know, when you're on this river, you're thinking, there's definitely
crocodiles. So this is how remote this island is. It wasn't until, or this place in this province was, it wasn't until 8 years ago that they built a bridge from the mainland today. And during the time of Pol Pot and the regime that went on in Cambodia only 40 years ago, that this place was so far away from civilization that when the food sort of stopped and they weren't getting their supplies, they used the crocodiles as a source of food. And that's the reason why there are no crocodiles in that place anymore, because they've been ate. So that's how remote it was. So we, yeah. And our experiences from the day, from the minute we got there to the minute we left, was just, it was unique in every way. So yeah, we did.
Literally breathtaking, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we had our own tent on the river. So as soon as we got there, we're jumping off, I mean, the deck of the tent into this river, which, I mean, Claire didn't, because you're still
convinced. I did
not go
in the river. And I'm you know, I said to the kids, look, except you're old enough to decide whether or not you want to go in the river, and I'll stay on the side.
So the kids, yeah, first thing they did was jump in. And then we had some really unique experiences. So the place that we stayed invested a lot of their money and resource into building schools for the local community. So we got to spend some time at a school. The kids learned how to write Khmer, so the local language in Cambodia. They played, I mean, games in the playground with them.
Just such a humbling experience, wasn't it? To see the children. The resort actually put on all of this for all guests that go there. So it's again, like, without them, we wouldn't have known what to do. And we went on a jungle trek. And what else do we do?
I don't know whether you've seen the pictures, and for those of you that want to head over to our page, you've seen it. But Kaylin, when we were driving down down to the tent when we first got there, there were two palm trees literally parallel hanging over the river, and as soon as we went past them, I was like, that'd be a great place for a photo, we should really jump off it. And Caleb was like, I want to jump off it. So on our last night, we got there, and what the pictures don't tell you is that climbing that tree, me and Caleb got bit by about a million ants. And Caleb was crying. He didn't, I mean, it was what went from the best moment to possibly the worst in such a quick space of time. But the feeling he got when he jumped off, he was like, I want to go again. So he didn't care about the ants nibbling on him. He was like, I need to do that again.
It's so refreshing to hear kind of these off the beaten path adventures. I know when you go into social media like Instagram or blogs, you see a lot of the same stuff getting covered. So it's really awesome to hear this kind of unique perspective. And a lot of people, probably even ourselves included, kind of get a little weary of going to such remote locations, right? Where it might not have as many facilities in terms of if something goes wrong. Did you ever have that kind of worry, or, you know, how did you push yourself to get past all of those doubts?
We're going to sound really bad parents now, but we didn't have any worries.
No,
like when we got there and Claire seen the river, she was like, there's definitely going to be something lurking in there. I don't think the kids should go in. And then it was a case of, we'll let Ian go in and test the water. I came out with both my legs, so it was a case of, okay, then it must be all right. But yeah, we
in terms of the place itself, I mean, you just, you know, it's a resort, so you, and I suppose, well, in a way that kind of gives you a bit of comfort that other people are going there.
I think when, like us, if you're going to do something like that, you've got to live in the experiences. And we had so many of them, which were just like wow moments. So much of that's going on that you can't really get caught up in the what ifs. And it wasn't like we were walking prior to this interview, we were speaking about little things like this. And we were remembering a time when we were in Chiang Mai and we were walking through, it was about 9-10 o'clock at night, and we were walking through a lane. It was pitch black. There was nobody else around. The rain was coming down quite heavy. And I turned to Claire and I said, 6 months ago planning this trip, we would never have thought, if you would have told me I'd walk through this lane, I'd go, nah, we would be in bed with them. We wouldn't go out and venture out on our own
at
a place that we never knew. But you just do it when you're traveling and you're in the moment. You just forget about all those worries that you may have had. And I think we live in a society now that scaremongers us a lot, not just in places that we've never been for, even our own country. And I mean, there is a lot of bad in the world, but there's forever much there's bad, there's twice as much good. And you just need to step outside of your comfort zone to go and see that.
No, I think it's incredibly inspiring to hear, you know, you have trust in the situation, you have trust in yourselves as parents, and you have trust in the environment, the resort that you're in, and the kind of people that you're around. A lot of times it's easy to get caught up in and kind of us versus them mentality, especially when traveling. So just learning how to communicate and how to interact with the people that live in the cities and countries that we go to is just definitely an art and a skill that it seems like you guys have mastered at this point. So I wanted to kind of finish things up with, you know, one final question, where can our listeners find and follow your adventures?
So we are on Instagram. You can find us. First of all, thanks so much for having us. Thanks so much for having us and everyone for listening. You. But if you do want to follow us some more, you can find us on Instagram. We're at Travel the World Family, all one word. And then we're on Facebook at TTW Family Official. You can also find us on YouTube just by typing in Travel the World Family. We do have our own website and we update it as regular as we can, where you can find some more little bits on there, some extra bits.
Yeah, I was just going to say that anyone listening that wants to ask us anything else or needs advice, if you're just starting out or you're in it long term, but shoot us a message. We tend to get back to everybody.
All right, guys.
Cool.
We will keep in touch and have a great rest of the day, great rest of the week.
Thank you very much. Same to you guys.
So that just about wraps it up for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to Claire and Ian Fisher of Travel the World Family. If you're interested in following their adventures throughout Southeast Asia, you can go and check out their Instagram at Travel the World Family. Next week, we've got an episode all about our adventures in Bali, Indonesia. So if you enjoyed this episode and want to make sure that you receive the next one, make sure that you subscribe either on CastBox or wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. The music for today's show has been provided by The Long Valley with additional music by BMC. And if you want to see any more pictures or videos of our adventures, make sure that you check out our Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube accounts at The Jet Setting Family. So until then, happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.
Ever wonder if they were listening to you? So did Al Franken. Yep, that Al Franken. He was just on our podcast impersonating his former Senate colleagues in the name of privacy.
What the Hack with Adam Levin will make you feel more chill about the unchill things that happen online and off, with easy-to-understand tips to make your life a little less hackable.
Join us as we look at the ways people get scammed and hacked. What the Hack with Adam Levin is a weekly cyber true crime show that unravels a fresh new hell every Monday.
What the Hack with me, Adam Levin. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lincoln, board certified OBGYN, and you may know me from social media where I spend a lot of my time educating about everything reproductive health. This podcast is called Let's Talk About Down There, and that's what I'm doing. I am talking about down there with no shame, no stigma, a lot of fun, and a lot of education. And why? Because when we talk about these things, we educate and we empower ourselves. Call in, leave a question, and know that it's okay to have questions about your body, and we're going to answer them.